Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Moving on.
Anywho, look, I appreciate it. You're trying to you know, better me.
I'm trying to look out for you.
Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rusdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense.
And I'm Kimberly Adams. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this Thursday, January the 11th.
Thursday shows are where we go back to listen to some of the big stories of the week. We've got some audio clips lined up. We will discuss same. Juan Carlos, let's go.
When the hard right says they want a shutdown, they are saying they want these things. VA closures, no food inspections, delayed military benefits, and so much more. This shows you that the hard right is not serious about governing. The only tactic in their playbook is to try and bully the rest of Congress and the country to bend to their extremist views.
So that was Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a Democrat, as you could probably guess. And that was today. He announced that he's going to go ahead and get the ball rolling on a stopgap funding bill to try and avoid a partial government shutdown that would start next week. So if you remember, back when we had our last almost partial government shutdown, we ended up with what was called a laddered CR, which was that they divided up the appropriations bills into basically two buckets expiring at different points in time. The first expiration date is coming up on January the 19th. In theory, giving themselves time to pass the individual appropriations bills, which they did not. And so over the weekend, we got this deal with House Speaker Johnson and Schumer over in the Senate and the White House with what are called the top line spending numbers. And this sets defense and non-defense spending. And usually from there, you would then break down how much each of the individual appropriations bills is going to get and then actually write the bills. And maybe they'd be bundled together in an omnibus or minibus or whatever. So they reached this deal on the top line numbers, which are basically the same top line numbers that we had before McCarthy got ousted. Right. That was in the debt ceiling deal, whatever. But it was a deal, and it was going to avoid a partial government shutdown come the 19th. But this week, and I was looking right before we came in here trying to see what the latest is, House Republicans, those that far right that Schumer was talking about, are balking at this deal. And we're in closed-door meetings with Johnson, you know, earlier today saying, we're not going to go along with this. We need to renegotiate it. And renegotiating it at this point is obviously a no-go on what, at least in terms of what the Democrats say. Right. It would take a long time, and it's not going to be a deal that the other parties are going to get on board with. And Johnson's been saying, look, this is the best I could do. It's a good deal. But we just don't know at this point. There are some procedural votes that are happening that are kind of moving the trains along, but there's a lot of opposition to this among House Republicans. So it's not clear yet that this is actually going to make it through. But we are looking at, if all goes well, another continuing resolution for this bucket of bills that was supposed to be passed before the 19th.
It is two things. It is, number one, remarkable to me that the House Republican caucus is again eating itself from the inside out. Truly. Mm. I know I shouldn't be surprised, but I am. Number two, this is me completely spitballing. I'd say the odds of at least a partial government shutdown on the 19th of this month are north of 95%.
Interesting.
I don't think you can get House Republicans, the ones who are really irate about this deal, to go along with a CR. They just won't.
True, but you might get enough Democrats and Republicans to get on board with the CR, which will then
end up with
what happened to McCarthy, because it's effectively the same deal, the same top line numbers, and Johnson is being put in the same position where this is probably the best deal that he can get. He won't be able to pass it with just Republicans, but most of the Republicans in the House do not want a government shutdown blamed on them. And so he'll have to go and get Democratic support, which could, depending on how the people on the far right in the Republican Party feel, could end up with him getting called up like McCarthy did and lose his speakership. But who knows?
Who says politics is dull, huh? Anyway.
Better than TV.
Right.
All right. Let's get to the next piece of audio.
We're going to approach this, number one, acknowledging our mistake. We are going to approach it with 100% and complete transparency every step of the way. We're going to work with the NTSB, who is investigating the accident itself to find out what the root cause is. I have a long experience with this group. They're as good as it gets.
So that was the CEO of Boeing, Dave Calhoun, speaking at a company town hall this week, speaking, of course, about the door plug that flew off that Alaska Airlines flight last weekend. The FAA is investigating. NTSB is doing all its tests, and we frankly don't know exactly what's going to happen. Alaska Airlines has grounded all of its 9 MAX planes, 737s, through Saturday. United, you have to believe, is going to do the same thing. This is a real problem for this company, and it's a problem not of competitive nature, right? Because there are only two companies on the planet that make big commercial airplanes, right? Airbus and Boeing. And while it's tempting to say, ooh, airlines ought to just order now from Airbus, the problem is that if you order a brand new Airbus 320 or 321, I think you don't get it until 2029. So there's a backlog here because capacity is so limited, right? But the other part of this is, would you put your family on a Boeing 737 MAX 9 right now? And I don't know that a lot of people are going to go, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. So that's a real challenge. I think it's really, 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 really treacherous territory for Boeing right now.
It really is. And I mean, this comes, what, how long has it been since their last big investigation?
Five years. 2019 was those two in Malaysia and Ethiopia. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but this is what happens when you have market capture, right? And
right.
You still
right.
end up
exactly.
going back.
Exactly.
Ooh.
All right. Next one. Here we go.
In 15 seconds, should voters in their 20s plan on having to work until they're 70?
They should plan on their retirement age being increased. Yes. We're going to change it to reflect more of what life expectancy should be.
Oh, boy. That set off a firestorm. So this is presidential candidate Nikki Haley answering a question from CNN's Jake Tapper last night at the Republican presidential debate ahead of the Iowa caucuses, of which only two of the it's funny to say top three candidates because there's such a gap. But anyway, two of the top three candidates actually appeared. Trump was doing his own Fox town hall a couple miles away. Ron DeSantis was the other person. There, Haley has called for an overhaul of Social Security and Medicare. And I know we've got a deep dive coming up on aging and things coming up in a couple weeks. And I'm really looking forward to digging into that. But she's speaking to the reality that our Social Security program is not fully funded. You and I were talking the other day about Social Security taxes how they do not work so well. This particular clip that she said has been fodder. The Trump campaign put out an ad today targeting Haley over her calls to change the retirement age in order to keep Social Security funding. Haley has come back and said that he's taking her out of context, and that's not true. But this just gets at this third rail of American politics that some people are, I guess, trying to touch with rubber gloves, hoping that they don't get electrocuted.
Really thick rubber gloves,
Really thick. DeSantis says he wouldn't raise the retirement age. But, you know, if you listen to some of these House Republicans in particular who have been talking about the debt and deficit, one of the things they often will say is that nobody wants to have the hard conversations and that Social Security is part of the hard conversations. And they're right. People do not want to talk, at least politicians don't want to talk about the fact that the program, as it is currently designed, is not sustainable. And whatever changes are made are going to hurt somebody, right? And so, yeah, that is already giving a lot of ammunition, say, to Haley's opponents. Haley's come out and tried to clean it up a bit and add more context. But, of course, context doesn't really work in political campaigns.
I think it is so interesting that Haley is talking about raising the retirement age when nobody is talking about this thing that you and I mentioned a week or two ago, or whenever the heck it was, mm-hmm. about Social Security
raising
taxes, right? I mean, as it stands now, just to refresh everybody's memory, you are taxed on, for Social Security purposes, on about $160,000 worth of your income, right? Which means if you mm-hmm. make less than that, you're taxed on your entire income. Right. If you make over $160,000, there comes a point in the year once you've made your 160 that you're not paying Social Security taxes anymore. And it is I don't understand the politics of it, where she says we're going to make hardworking, right, and middle class mm-hmm. people in this economy retire later. But everybody mm-hmm. who makes more than 160, you're good to go.
Because you can't be a Republican saying you want to raise taxes.
But how much sense does that make? It makes no sense, speaking of hard conversations. I mean, it's nutty. Yes. It's nutty.
It is, but you also don't hear Democrats saying it either.
No, totally.
Right?
Oh, absolutely. No, look, the whole revenue side of the deficit yeah. and fiscal imbalance thing that we have in this economy has fallen by the wayside. Nobody even thinks
it really
about it.
Has.
It's all about cutting, cutting, cutting. And I'm like, nobody likes to pay taxes, but we all like roads, and we all like fire departments, and we all like swimming pools, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And sewers and all the rest. Yeah.
All those things that, yeah. that keep yeah. society running, right. in theory.
Right.
All right. Last clip of audio for the day.
Let's just recognize this is just one of what I think is a long laundry list of potential asset class catalysts this year. I mean, next up, we would have the Ethereum spot ETF decision, and then we move on to the April Bitcoin halving, on and on, any one of which I think is important in the context of what is still a very small asset class.
Oh boy. Well, there's a lot in there. That was Ben Laidler. He's a strategist at the trading platform eToro. And he was talking about this thing that happened the past couple of days, which I think we talked about. The Securities and Exchange Commission has approved some Bitcoin ETFs. Those are exchange-traded funds, which are funds that trade on exchanges like stocks, except they are underwritten. Their asset class in this case is Bitcoin. They did it. If you take SEC Chair Gary Gensler at his word, extremely reluctantly, Gensler said in a statement, we are approving these Bitcoin ETFs. We are not approving of or endorsing Bitcoin. So first of all, please, please, please consult your own financial advisor. There is peril here because Bitcoin is a deeply, deeply speculative instrument. And while I appreciate people want to get in and it is now easier to do that, hang on to your hats because crypto trading is a tricky, tricky beast.
I've already been getting pitches from big, you know,
yeah, I'm sure.
online trading companies saying, we've got one now. Do you
yep.
want to talk about
yep.
it? You know,
yep.
and I'm just like, man.
Yep.
But, you know, it's hard to not take it seriously if you're an average consumer and you're looking at the price of Bitcoin, right? It's not doing terribly right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very speculative, but, you know, so are lots of other things that people feel very comfortable investing in. You know, I was doing that story on gold prices a mm-hmm. week or two mm-hmm. ago and was stunned when the guy who spent, you know, years researching the price of gold going back millennia. And he was like, yeah, it doesn't do much better than other investments, including like the stock market. You know, it's not these narratives we have about what are and are not safe investments are not necessarily the most accurate narratives to begin with. And so if you're a regular person sort of looking at the price of Bitcoin and looking at the volatility there versus the volatility of the stock market, it may not look all that different. But, you know, in theory, stocks are backed by companies and stuff mm-hmm. and, you know, businesses as opposed to ideas. But
yeah. There you go.
We've beaten this horse quite a bit.
All right.
All right. That is it for today. Please join us tomorrow for our first Economics on Tap of the year. Going to be so much fun. Our YouTube live stream starts at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific.
Today's episode of this podcast, which is called Make Me Smart, was produced by Courtney Bergseeker, audio engineering by Juan Carlos Dorado. Ellen Rolfes writes our newsletter.
Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcasts. And Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital. And on demand. Scott, throw it in for fun.
And on demand.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.